But that's why we worship a merciful and gracious God. And it's to him we give all honor, praise, and glory this morning, especially to our ascended Lord, Jesus Christ. Please join me now in prayer as we prepare our hearts for worship. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we prepare to worship today, we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will stretch our imaginations so that we might sense the majesty and the mystery of your Son, Jesus Christ's ascension. Help us to perceive how his presence in heaven can give us confidence in our prayers and hope in our futures. And it's in his name we pray.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 47 and can be found on page 571 on the Church Bibles and in the bulletin insert. Clap your hand, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy, for the Lord Most High is awesome, the great King over all the earth. He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the bride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Today's New Testament reading comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, and can be found on page 1184 of the Church Bible and or in the bulletin insert. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
It is indeed. So most of the time when I preach, if you are around for that once in a while, I usually preach from a scripture passage, Today I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to preach to a scripture passage. I think, hopefully, you'll understand what I mean by the time we get to the end of the sermon. Let's see how it goes. Let me offer a prayer. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit today, so that in your light we may see life, in your truth we might find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, like many of you, I've lived in or around cities much of my life. Probably because cities, for all their faults, do offer certain advantages, right? Cities offer employment opportunities. They offer educational possibilities. They offer cultural activities and entertainment options. They offer diverse populations and skilled multicultural workplaces and workforces. And of course, if it's a big enough city, it offers the best thing of all, I would say, and that is, wait for it, the direct flight. Direct flights to destinations near and far. If any of you are regularly in the habit of connecting flights, you know what I mean, right? Who doesn't love a direct flight? I had to live 2 years in a place, actually, that did not have direct flights, and I can tell you those were dark days, very dark. It just wasn't the same. Anyway, all these advantages considered, though, there is one thing that cities cannot offer, and that is this. Cities cannot offer a night sky in which you can see a fabulous display of the stars and the planets. No, when you live in a city, the light pollution is such that the heavenly bodies above are at best dimly displayed and at worst totally obscured. The light pollution makes it really difficult to see objects in the sky. And this, it has an effect, I think, on us city dwellers. It can almost be when you live in or near a city, it can almost be like the stars above you don't exist. Because their presence is just not something you sense or notice on a daily basis, they can almost become non-entities for us. Unless, of course, you have a telescope or something like this, which can bring them near. But on the whole, when you live in or near a city, these stars and other heavenly bodies are definitely an out of sight, out of mind phenomenon. Again, it's almost like they don't exist. Well, enough about that for now. We'll return to our deep thoughts about light pollution in a little bit. But as I mentioned earlier in the welcome, we celebrate today Ascension Day, and this is the day we remember, of course, the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. As we encounter Jesus on the day of his ascension, it's been 40 days actually since his resurrection from the dead on that first Easter Sunday. And since then, since that time when he rose from the dead, Jesus has appeared to Mary at the tomb and also to his disciples in a room. He has invited his disciple Thomas to touch his wounds, and he has forgiven his disciple Peter for his denial of him. And then he's gone on to commission Peter too. Jesus has even helped the disciples land a big catch of fish on the Sea of Galilee. 153 fish to be exact. Remember our discussion of the 153? Anyone remember that discussion of the 153? Okay, good. I think in this crowd, the math stuff gets remembered. It's all good. Now it's time, though, for Jesus to leave this earth and return to God the Father. And so after commissioning his disciples to make more disciples, we read that Jesus is taken up into heaven, ending his time on earth, at least for the present being. So what now of Jesus' ascension? What is this event for us today? What might it mean for us? How might it speak to us? Well, maybe, just maybe, we can think of it this way. Maybe we can think of Ascension Day as a reminder that there exists in heaven God our Father and his ascended Son, Jesus Christ. And maybe we need this reminder today because we can be a bit like those city people. Those city people in relation to the stars in the sky. Maybe because of the figurative light pollution in our lives, figurative light pollution consisting of things, say, like busyness and distractedness, hedonism, consumerism, ambition and drive, worry and fear. Maybe because of all that light pollution, it's hard for us to notice, hard for us to perceive, hard for us to remember that actually life as it exists on planet Earth is not all there is. And that there's a higher, a better, a divine reality that exists above and beyond us. a higher, better, divine reality that actually quite benefits us. There's actually God the Father and his ascended Son, Jesus Christ, in heaven. Consider, for example, the lives or the times we live in. We're going to talk about light pollution, right? Consider the times we live in. Consider the times we live in and the light pollution they emit, obscuring our vision, our view of the heavens. In the last 2 weeks, a man drives a car into a parade celebrating Liverpool Football Club's championship season. Russia unleashes one of their biggest missile barrages on Ukraine. The American president calls for 50% tariffs on Europe. So being inundated with news like this every day, well, this can affect our behaviors and influence our activities. All this breaking news, as it's called, right? Breaking news. It can turn us into something called doom scrollers. Do we know what doom scrollers are, right? Anyone here a doom scroller? Got three honest people out of how many are we here today? 150? Right. So I think the term originated, or at least was made popular during the COVID pandemic, when we would constantly scroll down on our smartphones, absorbing line by line doom-filled facts and figures, doom-filled projections and predictions, making us completely, this is the key, making us completely and utterly engrossed in the here and now, making us completely and utterly engrossed in the proximate and the immediate. And perhaps for some of us, this orientation and this approach has continued into the present with breaking news. We still pay a lot of attention to the minute by minute and the day to day. What's the latest from that world leader? What's the last from that war? What's the fallout from that court decision? What's the damage from that legislative action? What's happening in that region? What's going on in that country? We have to know now. And so we fill our minutes and hours and days with information and disinformation, commentary and quackery, theory and speculation, reports and rumors, and in the process, we fill our minds with worry and anxiety, mistrust and distrust, paranoia and fear. And all this obscures our view into heaven and those who reside in heaven, such to the extent that for all practical purposes, it can almost be that heaven doesn't exist for us. And it can be like God the Father and the ascended Christ don't exist above us. And this because in our minds, all that matters, all that counts, the real power, the real authority, the end all and be all of our existences is to be found here in front of us right now, life on planet Earth. When this is our approach to life, it is the who and what of this world that carries ultimate importance in our minds and our hearts. It is the who and what of this world that most captivates us, most catches us, most captures our attentions. It is the who and what of this world that actually has become for us king. Well, this, my friends, in a real, very real way, is a denial of the ascension of Christ. Do we not remember that ultimately only the ascended Christ is king? No one else, nothing else. And that the ultimate power and authority belong to him. Sometimes it's hard to remember this when there's so much coming between us and him. So much of, again, what we might figuratively call light pollution. But that, of course, is one of the temptations of our times, to let For example, what's in the news, and then the commentary and discussion and speculation and conjecture that follows the news. To let that rule our days and our nights. Direct our thoughts and our actions. Serve as our Lord. But clearly, this is not what we as children of God and followers of Jesus Christ are supposed to do, right? This is why we need, or one of the many reasons we need Ascension Day. We need Ascension Day to remind us that there's a higher, better, divine reality that exists above and beyond us. A higher, better, divine reality that can greatly benefit us. That there's actually God the Father and his ascended Son, Jesus Christ, in heaven above us. Current events aren't the only light pollution we experience in our lives. There are other forms, too, that obscure our view into heaven, making us forget who sits there and who rules there, right? So let's think about one more. Excuse me. One more, if you will, bit of light pollution. And for this type of light pollution, there actually exist names, terms. Some of us might know this form of light pollution as the societal rat race. Everyone know what a rat race is? It doesn't involve rats, right? All right. Others of us might know it as the treadmill of life. Still others of us might know it as the existential hamster wheel. Anyone know what I'm talking about here? Okay. So whatever we call it, all these terms point to a single reality that can obscure our view into heaven above. And that single reality is the ongoing and endless pursuit of accomplishment and achievement. For those of us who are part of the rat race, on the treadmill, going round and round on the hamster wheel, every position is largely a step to a better position. Every job largely a step to a better job. Every degree represents the possibility for greater advancement. Every award represents the possibility for greater recognition and acclaim. For us, it's always about reaching the next goal, always about achieving the next objective, always about maximizing the next opportunity, always about exploiting the next chance. For us, more is always better. And anything less than full might as well be empty. Our objective is not to be good, but it's to be better. Not to be accomplished, but to be more accomplished, or actually most accomplished. Yes, for us, life is the ongoing and endless pursuit of accomplishment and achievement. And of course, pastors and churches, right, are not exempt from such things either. We too, with respect to all things church, can buy into the lie. We can buy into the lie that bigger is better, busier is godlier, and more is holier. We can buy into the lie that additional is always beneficial. I once had someone say to me this. We were talking about how many services we should have on Sunday that people should go to. And they just said, well, two is twice as good as one, right? I don't know, maybe it is, but not necessarily, right? And then three versus two, what would that be percentage, right? Anyway, where were we? Yes, the additional in the church is always beneficial. The extra is always advantageous. That high levels of activity in a church necessarily represent life in the church. That a lot of motion in a church necessarily represents vitality in a church. I guess what I'm speaking to with this discussion of the pursuit of accomplishment and achievement is at its core the pursuit of personal significance, right? And of course, the pursuit of personal significance, the striving and the straining for personal significance, isn't something just done in the context of a career. As humans, we can strive and strain for personal significance in all kinds of ways. We can strive and strain for personal significance in our roles as mothers and fathers, as grandpas and grandmas. We can strive and strain for personal significance in the intelligence we enjoy or in the beauty we possess. We can strive and strain for personal significance in the money we spend and, being Switzerland, in the money we save. We can even strive and strain for personal significance in the holiness we convey and in the devoutness we display. Yes, the pursuit of accomplishment and achievement is not limited to career objectives. And whether it's out in the world or here in the church, as part of a career or just as part of our identity, this kind of all-out pursuit of accomplishment and achievement, it can obscure our view of the reality of heaven. It can obscure our view of the beauty of heaven. It can obscure our view of who sits there and what actually their will for us is. It can obscure our view into what attitudes and behaviors belong to the kingdom of God. And what attitudes and behaviors belong to the kingdoms we are trying to build for ourselves. Generally, we like to equate those two. It can obscure our view into the reality that this day, this week, this life that we're currently living is not the only life we will ever know. So I might suggest that the rat race, the treadmill, the hamster wheel, they make us not so much theoretical atheists, but rather practical atheists. God doesn't exist for us most days, not because we're intellectually opposed to the idea, but rather because we're simply too busy for it, or you might say too ambitious for it. The lives we possess, the lives we've chosen, these lives often crown our calendars king and make our to-do lists Lord. They make the next big thing for us the main thing for us. They make who we are and how we are perceived as the defining motivations and inspirations for our lives. And so again, this is why we need Ascension Day. Because we need to remember that there's a higher, better, divine reality that exists above and beyond us. A higher, better, divine reality that benefits us. There's actually God the Father and his ascended Son, Jesus Christ, in heaven. So today, my prayer for all of us is really just this. Clear skies. Or at least clearer skies. Clear skies devoid of the light pollution that would allow us, if we had the clear skies, would allow us to see the beauty and grandeur of what is above us. I pray that daily we would see the beauty and grandeur of our ascended Lord who sits above with God our Heavenly Father. That daily we would perceive the existence and authority of our ascended Lord, and also that daily we would notice the presence and power of our ascended Lord. My prayer is that daily we would understand that what we're experiencing here is not all there actually is, but that above us there is someone else and something else, someone else greater than all we encounter here on planet Earth, someone better. Someone and something better than all we encounter on planet Earth. Someone who is truly Lord and King. Truly. My prayer is that we daily acknowledge that what we see on planet Earth is only part of what is. And that we can give thanks that a whole other what is exist above us in heaven. the what is of God the Father and his ascended Son, Jesus Christ, who has died on this earth for our salvation and who will return to earth someday for our restoration. Let me just close with a few words from the Apostle Paul. This is, by the way, what I've been preaching to all morning. Paul speaking here to the believers in the Colossian church. Gabi read it before. And his point to them and his point to us, and I think it fits very well with what we've been discussing this morning, his point is that since Christ has ascended into heaven, our hearts and our minds, they need to be there too. They need to be there too, with him. What is above shouldn't remain beyond us. It should be part of us, part of our daily reality, part of our daily motivations, our daily aspirations, our daily inspirations, you name it. And this again is what Paul says, and I'll end with this. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the ascended Lord, for Jesus Christ. And we pray that as he is in heaven, so might our hearts and minds be as well. And we ask this all in his name. Amen. Go from here today to witness to the reality of Jesus Christ ascended to heaven and sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Go from here to witness to his kingship and his kingdom. Go from here to witness to his power and his glory. And go from here to witness to his love and to his grace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you and remain with you always. Amen.